Good evening. Our news bulletin in English for today, Thursday, the 24th of November, read for you by Daniela Rosavi. We'll begin with the headlines. Tomorrow, the 25th of November, is Defence Forces Day. Ethnic tension has continued in the south of the Soviet Union, with thousands of demonstrators again reported to be out in the streets. At least seven people have been massacred at a church service in the Philippines. A dispute has arisen between Iran and Iraq over the exchange of sick and wounded prisoners of war. Now for the details, to begin with the national news. Members of the Seychelles People's Defense Forces, SPDF, celebrate the second Defense Forces Day tomorrow as the country marks the 7th anniversary of its victory over a mercenary invasion on November the 25th, 1981. Several activities at the national level and in the various military and law enforcement establishments have been programmed for the next 3 days. Tomorrow morning, in a ceremony at the Maison du Peuple, a group of commissioned officers will be promoted, whilst another group of SPDF members will be awarded long service certificates. Junior non-commissioned officers, NCOs, who have completed their training during the course of the year will also be awarded certificates, along with officers who have attended first aid courses and other SPDF members who have been taught to read and write Creole in literacy classes organized especially for them. All military camps and law enforcement establishments are organizing special lunches. Activities to mark Defense Forces Day will continue in the evening with the first of three gala evenings at the school meal center for members of the SPDF and their wives or husbands. Sunday afternoon will see the football final between the Seychelles People's Navy and Fire Brigade at 3:45 p.m. at the Stade Populaire. This will mark the end of Defense Forces Day sports activities organized over the past 2 months. The tug-of-war final for both men and women will be held during the break of the football game, and all cups and other prizes will be presented at the end of the encounter. A road race starting at Pointe-la-Rue for members of the SPDF is scheduled to end at Stade Populaire before the football final. The Commonwealth Secretary-General, Sir Sridath Ramphal, has said that while the world's attention has been focused on a series of highly publicized meetings on Southern Africa, the situation in South Africa itself has steadily worsened. Mr. Ramphal, who was speaking at a news conference, added that the international situation in South Africa had taken a macabre turn with Mr. Ramphal, who was speaking at a news conference, added that the internal situation in South Africa had taken a macabre turn with the conviction last Friday of four anti-apartheid activists on treason charges. Mr. Ramphal expressed guarded optimism about his week's agreement among Angola, Cuba and South Africa, which could lead to independence for Namibia. He said that Commonwealth countries would, for instance, want to know his external support for the UNITA rebel movement pledged to overthrowing the government of Angola cease. Another concern of Commonwealth nations, he said, was if the United Nations would be firmly in the saddle to supervise elections in Namibia when they are held. Delegates of the Commonwealth senior officials meeting were treated to a reception hosted by the Seychelles government at the State House Gardens on Wednesday evening. The reception also gave the delegates a chance to meet and discuss with senior government and party officials, as well as members of the diplomatic corps based in Victoria. The guests, including Commonwealth Secretary General, had a taste of Seychellois traditional music and dance, with performances by the Conservatoire of Music and Dance, the new national cultural troupe, and a group of young dancers from the Poglo district. Seychelles has congratulated Mr. Brian Mulroney on his re-election as Prime Minister of Canada last Monday. In a message to Mr. Mulroney, congratulating him on behalf of the government and people of Seychelles, President Francois Albert René said He looked forward to continuing collaboration with the Canadian Premier in further improving the already excellent ties of friendship and cooperation that so happily exist between the two countries and peoples. You are listening to our news bulletin in English, now for the international news. Within hours of commuting the death sentences on the black prisoners known as the Sharpeville Six, the South African authorities have granted a last-minute stay of execution for another black prisoner. The Justice Minister intervened to stop the hanging of Paul Setlaba, who had been due to die at dawn after his conviction for the murder of a black woman during a consumer boycott 3 years ago. However, the execution of five other men convicted for non-political offences went ahead as planned this morning. President Botha's decision to commute the death sentences on the Sharpeville Six has been welcomed both inside and outside South Africa. The six were sentenced for their part in the mob murder of a black town councillor during riots in 1984 in Sharpeville. Their death sentences have been replaced with prison terms between 18 and 25 years. Negotiations between Angola, Cuba and South Africa will resume next week in the Congolese capital, Brazzaville. Reports from Congo say the three-day meeting would start on the 29th of November. The meeting would follow 6 months of talks on a plan to end the conflict in Angola and achieve independence for Namibia. On the 15th of November, South Africa, Cuba and Angola agreed in principle to a timetable for the withdrawal of an estimated 50,000 Cuban troops from Angola. Meanwhile, the South Africans said today they have proposed a timetable for the signing of an agreement aimed at ending the Angolan and Namibian conflicts. The South African Foreign Minister, Mr. Piet Botha, said the first agreement could be signed early next month in Brazzaville. He gave no details, but said a second agreement could be signed on January the 15th once they have settled the details on how to verify the withdrawal of Cuban troops from Angola. The Soviet news agency TASS says a curfew has been imposed in the capital of the Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. It follows fresh outbreaks of ethnic violence and demonstrations in which 3 soldiers were killed and over 100 injured. Over 400,000 people took part in the demonstration. The protesters are demanding the neighboring Republic of Armenia drops its claim over the territory of Nagorno-Karabakh, whose population is mainly Armenian. Meanwhile, the Soviet Republic of Georgia has added its voice to calls by the Baltic republics of Estonia, Lithuania and Latvia, urging the authorities in Moscow to revise the planned constitutional amendments. The four republics say the amendments proposed by Mr. Gorbachev encroach on their sovereign rights at a time when they are demanding more autonomy. Iran and Iraq have been exchanging sick and wounded prisoners of war under an agreement reached in Geneva following the ceasefire in the Gulf War. But there were no immediate problems over the numbers to be repatriated. The Iranian news agency says that the first 52 Iraqis to be returned have left Tehran for Baghdad. The news agency said the first contingent was originally due to number 115 men, but that more than half had either asked to stay in Iran or were no longer sick or disabled. The aircraft carrying the Iraqis to Baghdad is due to return to Tehran later today with the Iranians on board. Iraqi officials say that more than 40 Iranians were originally due to be returned, but that this has been reduced to 19 because Iran has not repatriated as many prisoners as expected. There are some 1,158 sick or wounded Iraqis and 411 Iranians being released in stages in the biggest prisoner exchange since the start of the Gulf War in 1980. The military authorities in the Philippines say that gunmen have shot dead 17 people attending a church service at a remote mountain village in the central island of Cebu. Among the dead and wounded were children and elderly women. One survivor told how the church filled with smoke and people threw themselves to the floor as the gunmen opened fire for several minutes. The authorities are blaming the New People's Army, but residents of the village say they have received threats from a government-backed right-wing group who accused them of supporting communists. Troops have entered into the area to track down the attackers. Gunmen in Sri Lanka have killed 4 farm workers, 3 Indians and 1 Sri Lankan in an attack on a sugarcane plantation in the south of the island. Police said about 25 gunmen belonging to the extremist Sinhalese group, the JVP, carried out the attack before dawn. It is thought to be the first time that foreign civilians have been killed in the JVP's campaign of violence against the government. The Port Authority in Singapore has banned the entry of a ship reported to be carrying a cargo of industrial waste from Philadelphia. The 16,912-ton bulk carrier Felicia, registered in Honduras, was denied permission to berth at the port in Singapore. The ship was hired in August 1986 to dump 14,000 tons of industrial ash, but officials say environmental groups have long prevented the ship from doing so. At least 115 people are reported to have died in floods and landslides in southern Thailand as a result of torrential rain. Provincial officials say a total of 81 bodies have been recovered in Nakhon Sitamarat province and 180 people are reported missing. Several hundred houses have been washed away and many villages cut off by the floods. Regional army helicopters were being used to transport people to safety. Algeria and Egypt have resumed full diplomatic ties 11 years after they were broken off over Egypt's relation with Israel. A joint statement issued in both Cairo and Algiers said the decision took effect immediately. The move follows Egypt's announcement at the weekend that it would formally recognize the independent Palestinian state declared by the Palestine National Council earlier this month. The Hungarian Parliament has elected Mr. Miklós Németh to succeed Mr. Károly Grosz as Prime Minister. Mr. Grosz resigned as Premier to concentrate on the Communist Party leadership he took over from Mr. János Kádár in May. Mr. Németh, who is 40, is the youngest Prime Minister in Hungarian history. Ministers from the Organization of Oil Exporting Countries, OPEC, have again postponed their latest session of formal talks at their meeting in Vienna. They have been trying to find ways of reducing the output of some OPEC member states and increase the price of oil. The decision is to allow for more intensive negotiations on the dispute between Iran and Iraq over how much oil each should be allowed to produce.